This show is brought to you by Marketing Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. Now, let's get on with the show. You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, all about real estate edition, shining a light on the movers and shakers in the real estate industry, the home builders, developers, realtors, and suppliers making it all happen. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning, and welcome back to the About Real Estate edition of the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friends and colleagues, Carol Morgan and Brian Nani. Carol, Brian, good morning to the two of you. This should be an interesting conversation today.
I am very much looking forward to this guest.
Most definitely.
I'm excited. Anxious to see what her the results of her analysis of us will be after. I'm sure she can discern a lot of interesting nuggets from us, even from 10 minutes time. So let's get to it. We're joined by Katrina Johnson. She's a leadership coach with KCJ Consulting. Katrina, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. Thanks for carving out some time. So gosh, before we get into what promises to be an interesting conversation, take a few quick seconds and inform the audience about you and your background.
Sure. So many business leaders struggle with how to get the best from those they work with, how to get the best from themselves, how to get their teams on the same page. These are the kinds of things I help people do. I'm a psychologist by trade and sort of a self-professed science nerd. And I think both of those help me be better at my job. And in terms of background, I went to Florida State. I got a degree in psychology and then got my doctorate from Emory. Spent some time doing research, studying sort of what makes people tick, and also studying about the brain and neuroscience. And then I decided to apply these to business, and here I am.
That's great. Go Noles, right?
Yeah.
just say go dogs.
Yeah, go dogs too.
Go dogs.
So how many rings do you have?
Ring around the roses?
As in hardware on your hand, national championship rings.
Unfortunately, that's a very valid point.
Sporting no hardware.
You can continue, Brian.
So tell us a little bit more about workplace coaching.
Sure. So coaching really offers a tool set. It offers an individualized approach to really stretch yourself as a leader and stretch those around you. I think one misconception about coaching is that it's really only for executives, for CEOs of Coke and Turner. But really, organizations nowadays are recognizing that coaching is really applied to all levels of leadership, because all levels of leadership matter in an organization.
Sure. Definitely.
Your coaching is brain-based coaching.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about what that means and how that works.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, I spent a lot of years studying neuroscience and sort of what makes people tick from a brain-based approach. And so brain-based coaching really takes advantage of everything we've learned about neuroscience. We've learned a lot, particularly in the last 20 years, about how the brain works, how learning and memory, how we process emotions, how we best communicate. And so brain-based coaching really takes advantage of that knowledge and tries to apply it to the business world. So things, for example, like reward circuits. You know, we've learned a lot about how the brain responds to reward, that social reward lights up the brain just in the same way as food or money or an ice cold Coke. And so, you know, understanding about things like that, about reward and how people respond to reward, are really important for a leader. So that's just one example of kind of neuroscience in action and how it might be applied to business.
Well, listening to you there, I can't imagine coaching any other way. Yeah. I mean, is there such a thing as non-brain-based coaching? And if so, what's that look like?
I would say no, because, you know, in general, we're all working with our brains better. But I do think, you know, certain people emphasize that piece a little more. Sure. And draw on that piece a little more. Other people may have more of a business background or a social psychology background or kind of a neuroscience background.
Gotcha.
And I think I pull more from neuroscience.
So how do you get started when you're working with a new team? I mean, do you look at reports like our entire team? We take the Myers-Briggs assessment test. So we all know, you know, what we are and kind of how we fit in. We try to teach the team, and our team, you know, is somewhere between 16 and 18, you know, okay, you know, Brian's not going to respond to that as, you know, the same as Alicia is, because, you know, he's extroverted and she's introverted. Mm-hmm. And how people approach it. Do you incorporate some of that into?
Absolutely. I've used various measures, the Hogan, the Berkman, sometimes the Myers-Briggs, if that's what an organization is already using. And I think the real key to those kind of data are translating it into actionable steps. That's where people get lost. I've seen many organizations come away with a 20-page report and they're really not sure what the heck they're supposed to do with that. So I think where a coach can be really valuable is taking those off-the-shelf approaches and really applying them and breaking them down into actionable steps that each person can take in the moment.
All right. Katrina Johnson will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
Your marketing tactics shouldn't be silos. Silos are for cows. Build a marketing foundation that includes three main components working together: your brand, website, and blog. The tactics you use, social media, public relations, SEO, advertising, etc., should all interconnect and relate to your foundation. They aren't silos off by themselves in the field. When you are ready to create an integrated marketing strategy, contact Marketing Relevance to take your company to the next level. That's marketingrelevance.com or call 770-383-3360.
All right, we're back with Katrina Johnson, leadership coach with KCJ Consulting.
So let's talk about specific examples. When you go in to work with an organization or a group, you're going in to do what?
That's a great question. The what really varies based on the organization. Sometimes it's a situation where performance has slipped or people aren't getting along. Other times it's just a situation where they really want to take things to the next level. So I might work with someone on setting goals and really breaking down those goals into specific steps. I worked with a CEO, for example, of an aerospace engineering company recently. You know, usually coaching is not rocket science, but in this case, that's literally what they did, was build rockets. And so it was fun to work with a bunch of, you know, technical engineers. And they had really taken this startup kind of out of the gutter. They had avoided bankruptcy. They were kind of on the side of the road, but the CEO was still in the constant putting out fires mindset. And they really had not shifted to a more future-focused approach. So that's where I came in. I really sat down and helped identify goals and work with the leadership team to really move towards a more intentional, less reactive approach and think about where they were headed. And I think taking time out, you know, whether it be 30 minutes a month or 2 hours a month to really think about goals and how to break those down, giving those you work with clear priorities, makes a huge difference and is something we forget to do a lot.
I think it's an important conversation to have when you're talking about, I appreciate the leadership coaching that you do and the help that you provide, the guidance and counseling you provide to these leaders. But is part of your work to make them a good leadership coach for their organization?
Absolutely.
Talk about how you do that.
Sure, absolutely. I really consider each leader I work with as obviously the expert in their field. So I'm really just helping them leverage the skills that they already have. And I do a lot of coaching of the coach. And so we talk about, you know, basic principles that we all know about, like positive reinforcement, for example. But you'd be surprised how many people really do that wrong, or at least do it not as effectively as they could. So things like complimenting. There's great research to show that when we compliment, if we make the compliment specific rather than general, thanks for getting those revisions back so quickly, that really moved the project forward versus nice work. It makes a huge difference in terms of how our brain responds, the learning component, and the reward of that compliment, or, you know, making the compliment immediate instead of waiting for the 6-month review, and then making the compliment around something that's good enough. We often wait for perfect until we offer a compliment, and that's really not the way to shape the members of your team and to move towards your goals. Complimenting along the way is a lot more effective. So things like that.
I think it's something we just forget to do sometimes.
Yes.
And it's trying to figure out how to make it part of your culture.
Yes. And part of your daily habit.
It's hard. It's something that I know as, you know, a leader in my organization, I have to really work at, because we're just going so fast.
Yes.
And some days it's all I can do to get to my to-do list for what everyone else needs from me. Sometimes I feel like the fireman. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So trying to remember to say, oh, hey, thank you. Good job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thanks for handling that. I appreciate your strategic thought on that.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Because that's one of the things I appreciate the most. I have a really young team, and growing them into strategic and critical thinkers is something that's hard to fast track, because it really comes with age.
Takes
but
time.
When I'm able to fast track it, or when they jump in and do that, I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Right. And, you know, building that kind of vocabulary into your habits, your daily habits, that's really something that coaching can help with. So I do a lot of, how is this going to look? When are you going to do this? What are you going to say? And then having an accountability mechanism in there, you know, having somebody to report back to and said, you know, I did this 11 times this week, and here's where it worked and here's where it didn't.
Strikes me from my experience in dealing with leaders is that where they fall short is just an inability to communicate effectively.
Right.
And they have the best of intentions. They're serving their role. If you ask someone the definition of what a leader is, communicate the vision is obviously, you know, key. But most of them suck at it.
Right.
What kind of communication advice do you offer? I mean, and is that a big part of your work?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We throw around, you know, words like communication or engagement. And really, the job of a coach is to break those down into behaviors that anyone can learn or master. And so talking about communication, sure, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is communicating how we like to hear things. Mm-hmm. And so if you are a people person, a relationship person, you know, you communicate all the time in terms of the effects on people and how the relationships work. You know, if you're a process person, you only talk about process and procedures. And instead, a better strategy is to really, you know, using some of the tools you mentioned, like the Myers-Briggs or the Berkman or the Hogan, to really start to communicate in different ways. So when you, even in an email or when you make a 30-second announcement, to really kind of hit, you know, what's the people part? What's the process part? What are the analytical parts? You know, what's the big picture? And you can do that in three sentences with practice. So it's really communicating how other people hear information, not just how you hear it.
Oh, and even how they digest it. That was the biggest aha takeaway. So we've been doing at, you know, our firm, the Myers-Briggs, for golly, 3 or maybe 4 years now. And the biggest aha the first time we did it, because we did have a, you know, a consultant come in and talk about how everyone fit into the puzzle, was that, you know, my business partner and I tend to throw out, hey, what do you think about? Mm-hmm. And the majority of our team isn't going to answer. And we took it as they weren't interested. And the reality is we need to tell them we're going to ask them what they think about it and give them 24 hours to process it. Then they'll tell us all day long.
Absolutely.
But it was just one of those, well, what's wrong with them? Why don't they care? We just didn't get it. So it really helped us to step back and see what our team was comprised of and how they work.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, kind of that same aha, you know, we're, you know, in the home building space here and we've got a lot of builders and real estate agents listening and they tend to be very different personality types. Mm-hmm. So do you have advice, you know, if you're a home builder who's going to tend to be a little bit more introverted, probably a little bit more of a type B versus a sales agent who's wide open, all out type A, you know, gregarious, mm-hmm. how can they really, you know, work together and relate better?
Absolutely. That's a great example. And as someone who recently bought, gutted, and remodeled a home, that is an example that's near and dear to my heart. I think one of the things is to find a shared goal. And we often can identify that, but we forget it so quickly. So often they do have shared goals. They just have different methods. So the goal may be make the customer happy. The goal may be increase your referrals. The goal may be find a lovely home or build a lovely home. So the goals are the same, but the methods are different. As you mentioned, sales agents tend to immediately think in terms of relationships and people. That's how they get things done. Builders get things done by getting things done. They use plaster and wood and nails to get things done. And so their methods are very different. So one thing I often encourage people to do is think back to a relationship, a recent relationship where you functioned well, where, you know, what are some of your best practices? What's a relationship where you've hit it out of the park? Mm-hmm. What did you do there? And why aren't you doing it with this one? And so, you know, when emotions get high or when things get frustrating, we throw our best practices out the window often.
Right. Yeah.
And so if you think about a sales agent, you know, I'm sure they deal with difficult clients and they do it well. How do they do that? You know, builders, I'm sure they deal with contractors and subcontractors, and they do it well. That's a lot of personalities to manage. How do they do that? Mm-hmm. So whatever those best practices are, applying that to the more difficult relationship is sometimes a good place to start, along with, again, thinking about shared goals. And then just really shifting to a more curious mindset, I think, is really important. We often start out from a judging, assumption-based mindset and really kind of taking a step back and going, why did they respond that way? What could that have meant? Mm-hmm. So really shifting to curiosity helps a lot too.
Curiosity is so important in leadership development and honing that skill.
Absolutely.
Because most think, well, my job is to climb the ladder and not think about those kinds of things. And I'm thinking about your story, Carol, and what you did there and what millions of other organizations do is they put a bunch of introverts in a room who are not comfortable to be in that room in the first place. You impart some information, then say, give me feedback now. That's not how an introvert works.
And they can't. And we have a, you know, you think about half our organization is you know, the technical side. Yeah. So they're web developers, they're SEO, they are not by nature. I mean, they'd be perfectly happy sitting in this room with a computer screen on in the dark all week long and nobody talking to them. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you think back to those rocket scientists right. I mentioned, you know, I did a 360 with them and talking to them over the phone, they're in the Mojave Desert and going, you know, what do you think the COO could be doing better? You know, what do you think the leadership vision, how is that translated? What do you think they could be doing better? And they're going, I don't know. I just build rockets.
But it strikes me that another flaw of many leaders is that they don't encourage feedback and communication from their team
right.
to say, boy, if you're not comfortable in this environment, I need to know that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of leaders just don't make that easy to do.
Right. And I think often leaders really do try. They say, mm-hmm. hey, give me feedback. Hey, let me know what you think. But they might do it exactly in the way you mm-hmm. described, in a way that doesn't really fit their organization or doesn't really fit the culture. So scheduling, you know, one-on-one meetings, scheduling small groups, inviting written feedback, maybe having somebody come in and do a little culture audit mm-hmm. where they just, you know, talk to people on the phone as an objective person. There's lots of different ways to elicit feedback. And sometimes we have one way we do it. And when that doesn't work, we say, well, they must not want to give us feedback, where we have to really stretch our brains to, again, get curious and think mm-hmm. about, well, why aren't they giving us feedback? And how can we yeah. do that a little differently?
Well, the good leader has to understand and get feedback from different personalities.
Yes.
And many don't take that time
right.
and spend that effort to do it. Well, geez, Carol, we've almost gotten 20 minutes of this conversation. I suspect we could probably continue.
I thought we just started.
I feel like we did too. So, Katrina, before we let you go, where can people get in touch with you should they have questions and want to learn more about your work?
Sure. So I have a website, www.katrinacjohnsonphd.com. Frankly, a quick Google search probably of, you know, Katrina Leadership Atlanta Consultant will do the trick. But if not, my website is a great place. I have some videos there explaining my coaching philosophy, some benefits of coaching, that sort of thing, and just some real basic information.
All right. Katrina Johnson, leadership coach with KCJ Consulting. It's great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you.
All right. I look forward to getting our fourth ring next year, right?
Yes.
All right. That wraps this week's About Real Estate edition. Check out the show by visiting AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. So on behalf of today's guest, Katrina Johnson, my co-hosts, Carol Morgan and Brian Nani, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show.